Good morning, everyone. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be with you again today, and we really trust in our Lord to really encourage us and to help us in this role that we have of following Him. We truly are disciples of Christ, and we've got so much to learn as we follow Him. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to teach us more about Christ every day. Let us pray and let's trust our God to meet with us today in a wonderful way. Let us pray. Father, this day belongs to you. You've ordained it from time beginning, and you've enabled us, Lord, to learn about you today and to be taught about you. But Lord, I pray that as we hear the word and the word transforms us and changes our thinking, I pray, Lord, that we'll not only be hearers, but that we'll be doers of your word. So will you encourage us now, Holy Spirit, as we trust you and allow you to reveal Christ to us through the word now. So bless us. Show us your ways now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've been in this time of lockdown and been realized the noise levels. I just noted in the initial phase of lockdown, it became very quiet and the noises around us became less and less, but we heard other noises. We heard the crickets. We started to hear the birds in a different way. And you know, I just want to remind us is that God has given his creation a sound and a song to sing. And just this morning we were listening to the birds, and I don't know if you know the Cape Robin chat, and it was singing its song, and I just want to play you its song to us now. Isn't that beautiful? Is that God has given his creation a song to sing. So as the birds have continued to sing, and they haven't stopped singing during this time, and you know, no one's given them the news bulletin to say that there's a problem and COVID-19's around and we need to be in lockdown. They've continued to live and they've continued to sing songs to the Lord. But my perception and what I found over this time is that as we continue to be in this place of being restricted, God is working for good. But I want to just say is that I really believe that in some ways we are losing our song. And God wants us to not lose our song. He wants us to grow into what he's created us to be. I really do believe is that God, as he's given his creation a sound, a voice to glorify him, he's given us as his new creation in Christ an ability to worship him with a new song. And I want to just say we mustn't lose it. And I come here today to encourage you and to highlight this aspect of this new song that God has given to us by the Holy Spirit. We must never lose the song. Never, never, never lose the song to the Lord. And I want to encourage us today with this message. So I want to just also just share with you about a Malawian worker that we had that used to work in our garden. We loved him dearly. His name was Simon. He worked with us for many years. And I remember those early days when he worked in our garden. Simon would go about raking up the leaves and working in the garden, and he'd be whistling and he would be singing his songs in Chichewa. And it was quite enthralling because, you know, we've grown up in a different world and an English type of background, and we don't normally do that. But yeah, Simon was singing songs. And we've noticed over time, as things became more difficult and he got more accustomed to lifestyle in South Africa and the difficulties here, Simon got sick and he started to lose his song. But yet he was still a man that could laugh easy, but he lost his song. And then a few years ago, because of high blood pressure, he had a heart attack. A sudden heart attack, and he passed away. But I wanted to say the story of Simon. Now, we loved him, and he was a good man. There was something in his lifestyle that he lost. He lost the song that he was singing. And I want to encourage us today is that let's not lose the song that God has given to sing to him. We must not only lose the ability to sing, but we must never lose the ability to sing a song to the Lord. The devil has been very clever over this period. Right throughout the world, he's prevented God's people from worshiping him in the corporateness. But I want to just say that shouldn't restrict us from worshiping him. And I come today to enlighten you and to encourage you. Let's not lose our song to the Lord. So the theme of this message today is a song, a new song, sorry, sing a new song to the Lord. And the text I use is from Psalm 96, verses 1 to 2. Psalm 96, verses 1 to 2. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. So I want to encourage us that we've got to sing to the Lord a new song. So it's contextually in this process, when Israel was caught up and cried out to God from Egypt, and when God sent Moses and Aaron to bring deliverance to them out of Egypt, what was the injunction that God gave to Moses to tell Pharaoh? He told Pharaoh through Moses, let my people go so they may worship me. And this is a very important thing, is that the devil tries to put us into bondage, into prison, that we do not worship God. God sets us free and liberates us and brings us to a place of freedom, but to worship him. And I want to say that hasn't changed at all. Also, the Lord detests false worship. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord and that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. God detests idols. And we need to be very careful that we do not fall into idolatry. Now, I can't tell you if you are in idolatry or the things become more important than God in your life as you confess him as your Lord and your Savior. I ask you, examine your life and to ensure there is no idol or any idolatry in your life. 1 John 5:21 says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. And then God commands us from the scriptures is that we must worship him. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29, bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Psalm 96, verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And even when Jesus was tested by the devil wanted Jesus to worship him. In Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then Jesus discoursed with the Samaritan woman in John 4:24, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And then in the end of the Bible, we are told again that we must worship God. From Revelation 14:7, it says, worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of the water. And then in Revelation 29, which I really do love, there was a man about to worship an angel, but he said to me, do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you, with brothers and prophets, all who keep the words of this book. And he said, worship God. And I love the NLT. It says, worship only God. And may that be the clarion call of our hearts, worshiping only God. So I want to get into some detail here and just look at the worship of God with making a new song to him. So my first point is here, the uselessness of worship which only consists of formality. And number one under that heading is, it's no longer a place. And I read from John 4 verses 21 and 23 and 24. And this is Jesus' discourse with a Samaritan woman. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks, and God is spirit, and the worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now the scripture says here that Jesus says it's no longer about a place, but it's rather in spirit and in truth. And my understanding from spirit, it talks about our hearts, and our hearts are made up of our spirit and souls, and which includes our minds, and truth refers to reality. This has got to become real. So what has happened? We have found that our place that we call a place of worship has been taken away from us. Maybe that's been a stronghold in our lives, and we've always put ourselves in a place to think that we worship just because we go to a hall and we have a wonderful group of musicians that leads us in song, and that is true worship. I'm just saying that God is actually challenging us, and maybe that isn't just the essence of true worship. Sometimes it's the outward form and the ceremonies that we measure our worship by, but not always the measure of what is in our hearts. Sometimes we become so acquainted to the manner of worship that we do that we have four or five songs and some upbeat and very intimate songs that we sing to the Lord. We don't like it too long or too short. We've become very particular in our worship, and we've come to think that is the worship of the Lord. And I challenge us today, is that really the worship of the Lord? All I want to just say is that the scripture that Jesus said, our worship isn't in an outward form, but it's rather about our hearts. We must worship the Father in spirit and truth. The next point under that is the heart is the principal thing in all our approaches to God. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, this is how the Lord looks at men. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his heart, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And in the same way, we need to ensure that this aspect, as God is looking upon us, he will see an outward appearance, and we evaluate ourselves by our looks and who we are. But God's looking at our hearts, and have you looked at your heart? And how is your heart? And this is where the true worship comes from, our heart. Now, worship mustn't be done in a place of coldness, heartlessly, or without grace. It cannot be like that. It's got to be very different. We've got to do it in spirit and in truth. The next point is worship by the Holy Spirit, and this is very important. We cannot worship in the flesh. We can only worship by the Holy Spirit. And Philippians 3:3 says, "For as we are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh." So as Craig was encouraging us last week, we worship by the Spirit of God, and that is the exchange life as a new creation in Christ. As we stand before the Lord as his priest, we have taken on this mantle of true worshippers, because that's what Jesus says. We become true. We're not just worshiping, we become true worshippers who glory in Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. You cannot worship in the flesh, even though we can outwardly do that, and we're in this temple called a body, and we worship with our hands and with our mouths, but it comes from your heart. So don't put any confidence in the flesh to worship God. Let it come from your heart. You see, God searches our hearts, and we need to come before him in the name of the Lord, and we need to come with a fervency. We need to come with the fullness of a hot, warm heart towards the Lord, a heartful heart, full of the Spirit, full of grace, and we do it by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a supernatural dimension to worship the Lord. It's everything that we are. It's who we are, burning alive and a living priest before the Lord that truly worships the Lord. So practically, I want to look at this whole aspect of having a new song before the Lord and worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. So my first point is repent and turn to God. Now, repentance is something that we don't always necessarily see as important, but repentance is not just as at new birth when we repent of our old ways. It's a continual outworking of salvation. We repent and we turn from our wrong thinking and our wrong ways, and lead as God leads us into the full understanding of who we are in Christ. And I want to just say something of the way that we've conducted our worship maybe has been in error. And I want to just say to God wants us to repent. And that is to turn our ways and to put away the old and to put on the new, that we can walk in the fullness of the new. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 from the NLT, it says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus at your appointed time." So there's an aspect of when we repent of our wrong ways of worship, and where we haven't come in with our hearts, we come in with the flesh. And we turn to God and we say, "No, Lord, we want to do it the right way." What we'll do, God will wipe away our sins. He'll bring refreshment, and the presence of the Lord will come, and Jesus will be revealed to us as our Messiah. And I wanted to say that's an incredible, incredible promise as we continually see our errors before the Lord, not in condemnation or damnation, but rather in a place of fullness of coming to truly being more and more like Christ every day. So I say to you, as we repent, you and I, we all learn in this process to worship, to be true worshipers, and to worship the Father in spirit and truth. So I'm asking us, will we turn from our wrong ways, and will we worship our Father in spirit and truth? And next, practically, the Bible tells us how to do this. And it says, "Speak to one another and make music in your heart to the Lord." And I read from Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 20. This is a wonderful portion of scripture, and I want to say, take this to heart and do what it says. Do not get drunk on wine. Well, we can't really do that much at the moment. They prohibited it, and that's a good thing, because we're not meant to get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here the scripture gives us a flow that we mustn't try and be merry and try to be happy and joyful through wine, which leads to debauchery, but rather get filled with the Spirit of God. So if you might be feeling a bit low at this point in time, ask God the Holy Spirit to fill you once again with his presence, with his fullness and the wonder of who he is. And out of that overflow, this is what actually takes place. Our mouths become the instrument to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that might seem a bit trivial at this point in time, but there's something of the Word of God that is embellished in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, which come from the Holy Spirit as we sing with our spirits. And then it says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And we can make music. It's not just our dear musicians that can actually do it. We can make music. God has created that wonderful gift within us to be able to make music in our heart to the Lord. Learn how to do that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So once we've done that, then we can start to give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So be filled with the Spirit of God. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord from your heart, and then start to give thanks. And if you find, and even at this time, that you're starting to get depressed and you're starting to feel a bit down, start to apply the scripture. Yes, get to a place where the Spirit of God can fill you again. Start to speak to one another. Start to, with the good news of Jesus, the gospel, and start to make music in your heart, and then give thanks to God in all your circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Another encouragement is from Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So it's out of gratitude in our hearts to God that we do this. And I want to encourage you, the next point is number three, is sing with your spirit and your mind. Now God has created spirit, soul, and body. And the soul is made up of our emotions, our wills, our intellect, and our minds. And here from this portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 13 to 17, I want to read that to you. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my spirit. For if you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among you, those who do not say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be even giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. So that is for working in the public meeting. But I want to just encourage us is that God has given us this ability with our spirits and our minds which is a part of our souls, to sing with our spirits and to sing with our minds. And I want to encourage you, this whole thing, that this aspect that we know how to speak and we know how to pray, but this aspect of singing, which is something that I really believe that we've got to nurture and we've got to build up, we've got to sing a new song to the Lord. So I encourage you with your mind, with your own words, sing to the Lord, and then also with your spirit, let the Holy Spirit give you the songs, the new spiritual songs that you can sing to the Lord. So I want to encourage us, just in quick summary, is that we must understand the uselessness of worship, which it only consists of formality. It's no longer a place, but it's the heart that's the principal thing as we approach our God. We must worship by the Holy Spirit, and as God searches our hearts, he will find what's truly in our hearts. Then practically, repent and turn to God, speak to one another and make music in your heart to the Lord, sing with gratitude in your hearts to the Lord, and sing with your spirit and your mind. So in conclusion, I say, let's bring our praise and our worship to God in a new song. We can sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. These songs are given to us spontaneously by the Holy Spirit, as we enter his presence and begin to worship him. And I want to just say it's a dimension that we can all enter into. You can do it in your home. You can do it in your quietness, wherever you find yourself, whether you're out in your garden, whether you're walking in the allocated times. Let's do that. Let's sing a new song to the Lord. Let not the devil trap us and keep us away from worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. So maybe you here today and you don't have a relationship with the living Jesus, and you've never had opportunity to sing a song to the Lord. Maybe you've heard about him and you know that he's in control, but you've never had an intimate personal relationship with him. And I want to encourage you today, if that's you today and you would like to make a decision to follow him and to accept his goodness and his grace, will you pray with me? I'd love you to just join your heart with me. Remember, as we even said, God searches the hearts and he knows your hearts at this point in time. He knows the truth of your heart. Will you make a truthful decision as you speak these words after me? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I thank you for sending your son Jesus, who died for me and paid the price for my sin. But today I thank you that as you want to make me a new person, as the Bible says, a new creation, I thank you for that miracle today in my life, that today that I can join the rest of those who have been called by your name and find myself in a place that I can worship you in spirit and truth. I pray that you'd set me free, that I can truly be a worshiper that can honor you and can glorify you. I ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And to the rest of you, may you continue to worship the Lord in spirit and truth with a new song. So if you've made a decision to follow the Lord today and made a commitment to him, under the YouTube channel description, you'll find there's a form to fill out. Will you please fill that out and put your names and details? We'd love to keep in contact with you. And then to everyone else there, and maybe you're going through a tough time, and I know who we are. We sometimes want to have such a brave face and we don't like to tell people, but if you want to keep it anonymously, will you fill in the other form underneath this description on the YouTube channel? It's a prayer request form. Will you fill that in? And will you put your requests, and we can pray for you and we can even follow up on you with that request. So we just want to tell you that we love you, that the Lord Jesus loves you, and that he's for you, he's not against you. And I want to tell you, this season won't last forever. We will get through this together. So may God bless you as the Lord loves you. May his peace be in your heart, and may you see him in all that you do now. God bless you all. Amen.